It's Wrecking Ball Radio.
Shut up and entertain me.
There's no rules. There's no rules.
Holy sh! It's amazing.
I see her sarcasm and nastiness grow.
This is Davin's Den.
Good evening, everybody. You are listening to Davin's Den. Yes, Davin's Den, the show that is better than being treated by Dr. Death. You can join
her. I'll say.
Yes. You can join chat room. Den Pen, go to davincomedy.com. Click live broadcast. Also, Facebook live on the Davin's Den page. I am your host, Davin Rosenblatt. I am joined by Pip Helix. Hello, Pip.
Hi, everybody.
Joe is out this week. On the show, a doctor in New York is fired for supporting Hamas. Comedian Bella the Cat Rubinton. And she's going to be on the show. And she says she's scamming a scammer who claims to be a psychic. I'm not so sure. We will delve into that. We will see. Maybe she is. Maybe she is.
We'll find out.
Or maybe she's not. Maybe she's just another victim.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. No, my.
But it does raise an interesting question I do have after I get through what we have. School of Fools and teens make a porn of their classmates using artificial intelligence. Pip is not pleased.
No, I'm not. This is a really interesting and scary topic.
Well, for sale for the holiday season, I have created the Davin's Den artificial intelligence porn. So you're going to want to buy that. That'll be available wherever fine pornography is sold.
Are you replacing me and Joe with actual intelligence?
Yes. And making you do unspeakable things to each other. You thought the toe sucking low those many years ago was good. Oh no. This is going to be way better.
Excuse me, sir. There was merely licking. There was no sucking.
Well, there is in my straight for the holiday season, put Davin's Den pornography. There is in that. You must please the fans. Even if, so, you can get that.
Oh, God.
Because the software's out there. Why wouldn't I use it? And we have a new segment called Would You Eat That? Would you eat
I
that?
Like this.
Yes. And tonight's topic, a Dorito bagel. But I have other ones. But yeah, would you eat? So we'll get into that. So here's the thing. If you give a scammer a certain amount of money to continue scamming them, are you now part of the problem? Or is this, you know, a small price to pay for content, keeping them occupied? Because we had talked in the past about throwing Belinda a little something. Never did. Anthony Cumia did throw Flory money, but we never told her it was at the Western Union, or she never picked it up.
Right.
But you know, maybe it's a small price to pay for good content. What do you think?
You know what? That's very interesting. I mean, I'm against giving them anything because that's just going to embolden them, like, oh, okay, I'm going to get the money out of doing this, so I'm going to continue doing it. But,
fair.
It does keep them awfully busy from going and getting innocence.
So what happens? What happens if you've had them going for say a period of a month or more. So we'll make that the minimum. So you have them going for a minimum of a month or more. And it could be ending. You might be losing them if you don't wet their beak. Now, say they want $500, $1,000, $300. Say that's what they want. And they think you're not going to give them anything because, you know, obviously throughout the course of this month, you've led them on. Things haven't worked out. You've created antics and mishigas.
Right.
But you're about to lose them. So you go, you know what? I'll give them $10, $20, $50. Because that's going to buy you time.
That is going to
buy you goodwill. Is that worth it?
For a month, I don't feel that it is.
Now, hold on. Let me stop you there. You are spoiled by my ability to get them going for much longer than a month. But by most standards, a month is a fair amount of time.
Oh, no, I get that. I realize that we've been spoiled by the length and girthy amount of time that we have spent with scammers, because you have the skills to keep them going, which a lot of people, I'm sure, do not.
Or the time.
but for that amount of time, because they do get antsy and want to move on to the next mark.
So going to what you said, a month, and understanding that for most people, that's a fair amount of time.
For most people, yeah. I don't know if I love the idea of I have the hiccups now.
That's all right.
I don't love the idea of giving them money because it's kind of like feeding the monster.
It is. But you did think it would have been fine to give Belinda something at some point.
Oh, yeah. No, but that was a long time ago, and I didn't see how you could work it so that you could keep them going without giving them any money.
Okay. All right. So you think under no circumstances money should change hands from the one scamming the scammers?
No, I just can't envision the circumstances, but I'm thinking that, you know, if you're doing it, like, if you're doing, you're doing it for content, really.
I am. Well, this is me. Right. So let's do it. Me, who's doing it for content, and let's doing it somebody else who doesn't have a podcast/radio show.
Okay, so I mean, doing it for content, I can see the purpose of it because it has proven to be great content. And if you think that, you know, throwing them a bone would keep it going longer, if it's a particularly entertaining scammer, you know, I could see perhaps throwing them a little tiny bit.
So what's a little bit to you?
What's that?
What's a little bit?
Like $20.
Okay. One time. So if you gave it to, you couldn't play them out a few more months later, see it was the end of the line, you couldn't give them money again. It's one time.
It's got to be one time, because if you keep feeding them, then what are you doing? Now I'm paying this person to scam me.
Well, if it's somebody in my position, you're paying them for content.
Oh, yeah. No, that works. But I love the people who do it that aren't doing it for content. They're doing it purely to keep the scammers on the run and to keep them busy from going after somebody else. But, that's great. But don't throw your own money in there because, you know, if it's worth it to you to do it, but you're never going to see that money back. And you know, eventually they are going to move on to somebody else. So it's not like you use that money to stop them.
I can make the argument that I am enjoying scamming the scammer, and I am doing this for my own entertainment.
Yeah, if if it's sort of like this has become your hobby,
yeah,
and you don't want this particular person to stop, you really want to keep them busy.
Now keep in mind, in between payments, they're still going to be face a lot of disappointment. But every so often, you wet the beak. I'm not saying that once you pay, you keep on paying. I'm not saying that, but.
Right. I mean, I could see the situation where you'd pay them. I wouldn't want to, but again, most people are going to watch them move on if you don't send them something. You seem to be able to disappoint people on a long-term scale.
Well, you can ask my wife, you know. Hell, you've known me almost as long. You're constantly disappointed.
Endless.
Yes.
But I just really enjoy the abuse, apparently.
Apparently. Much more than your average scammer, I would imagine.
Well, but I do have to say vice versa.
Yes, well. So.
Yeah. If it was somebody who was, that I was getting the feeling that they were maybe dangerous, I don't think I'd want to mess with that.
No. Yeah. And well, and that's why really nobody, including myself, should be messing with these people. They're a criminal element, and we've talked about that before. And I've been threatened on enough occasions, you know, where it's kind of it's a little chilling where you look outside and go, huh, because they do have people in country. You never know.
You don't know, yeah.
So you could see it. In certain circumstances.
Yeah, in certain circumstances, I could see, like you said, wetting the beak with a little bit. You know, I wouldn't want to be sending them, like, I'm picking, like, $500 or
that's more than wetting the beak.
That's a lot more than wetting the beak, you know what I mean? It's like that, oh, God, it's more than I feel I could afford to spend on something just for content, you know.
Well, I will tell you this. There is, I did this one time. We've never gotten to it on the show.
Wow.
I don't know if we ever will get to it on the show. Because I kind of wanted to see what would happen.
Yeah.
I wanted to see how much longer could I keep it going? And how quickly would we be going back to asking for money? And what would happen if you gave money, but it wasn't the amount that they asked for? Because I've never done any of that before. It's just been constant disappointment.
Constantly. Yeah. I mean, you've broken every bone in your body. You have every kind of psychological breakdown. And job disappointments. Everything's happened. The fake Davin.
Yes. So, in my case, is it acceptable, or have I become part of the problem?
I don't know. It's part of the problem. I don't love the idea of emboldening them because they're getting anything.
Right.
But it doesn't matter if they get something out of you or not. They're still going to keep. This is what they do.
Right.
They're still going to go on and go after somebody else.
Yes. I mean, I think there have been on a few occasions where after me they kind of stopped or did something else. Because, like, I just kind of, like, saw the profiles weren't very active to begin with. I wrapped them up for a decent amount of time. It didn't work out. And that was it. You know?
I'm not very good at this. I'm going to go and do something else.
Yeah.
Good.
Yes.
Learned your lesson. That's, hey.
So I did conduct that experiment. So at some point.
Okay. Very interesting.
At some point, we will see where that goes. Certainly wouldn't have done it with my first one, but I've done it every which way. And I will say, my situations now are not as ludicrous as they were when we started. It's hard for me to keep on thinking ludicrous. So it's a lot of the ones, although even Kimberly, I mean, I'm not a fluffer, But the arguments I get into are still ludicrous. But they are based more in reality, I think, and just me being a very difficult boyfriend.
Oh, you think?
I think so.
Yeah, fake Davin's a federal case.
Yes. But I guess one I've been with now for 7 months. And
wow.
Yeah, I guess so. That's what she tells me. And she gets very upset with me. I can't tell you how many times I'm called stingy and how I don't know how to satisfy a woman.
You know, though, I mean, I know that it's all in the land of make-believe, but I think that most people would take a real knock to their ego getting
yes!
those things on the regular.
Yes!
You know?
It's not nice to read. But...
No. I mean, anytime that somebody's saying something terrible to you, whether it's, you know, they are talking to a persona you've created or you, those words are still getting in. And it's like, ow.
Here's the reality. If you were dating somebody overseas.
Okay.
You're dating somebody overseas. First of all, there has to be video contact. And you will probably go and see them at some point. But let's say those things are happening. Chances are you will be sending them a decent amount of money to support them and their families. Now, whether their intentions are good or not, you got to go do that journey on your own. And everybody's different. So it's not exactly what we're dealing with. Because I'm saying you are seeing them. You are seeing the... And I will also tell you this. I have seen an increase of scammers, young African women, trying to scam me as themselves, which when we started was never a thing.
Wow, yeah.
So they will approach me on social media. And, you know, my radar is always up, you know. And then I got to thinking after I talked to him for a little bit, I'm like, oh, man. Well, should I tell them what the real deal is? No, I'm not. I'm not going to do that. And invariably they ask for money. Invariably they fall in love with me very quickly.
Well, I mean, come on.
Right. But that's how you know it's nonsense.
You just owned yourself with that comment.
No, but I mean, so listen, if you're talking to somebody for a few days, and they love you. It's not realistic in the real world.
No, it's not. And, you know, the poor schlubs that are desperate for human contact, and then they have somebody saying those words that they really want to hear, it's really easy to turn off the reality switch and say, oh, well, somebody really loves me.
I don't think it's appropriate for you to talk about Joe when he's not here. But...
Nothing I wouldn't say to his face.
Fair enough. He'd probably agree. But yeah, so that is a thing, and it's definitely increased in the past year where I never saw that before. These, some of them I've even done video chats with. It's them.
Wow.
They're in Africa, but they're selling me how. They love me and they want money. So then you wonder, okay, if I'm just a regular person, this person's attractive, we'll say, do I send them money? Because it's not a scammer. I'm seeing who it is. That's what you would think. This is not a scammer. Maybe there is an opportunity to fall in love. I mean, maybe it starts with, well, we're going to get the rich American. And maybe you wind up marrying them. Who knows? It could happen. It's not going to happen with me. You know, my current roommates would frown upon that situation. But
why would they put up a barrier between you and love?
Because they're not open-minded individuals. And this isn't Utah.
There was that agreement you made, though.
Eh.
I'm just remembering. I was there when you made that agreement. Is that still holding?
I mean, till death do us part. I mean, how many times have I died?
Oh, well, I would. Hey, I killed you once.
You did? No, you injured me. You didn't kill me.
Hmm. I just wounded you?
Yes.
Is that it?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Oh, so, I thought I killed you. Okay, I don't remember.
Yes, no, that was when you... No, because remember the next day? Where's the money? Flory wanted the money.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yes. Oh, no, I do remember her asking for the money again, but you would be the only one she could have asked. So, yes, you did live through it. You're right, you're right. You know, I'm so cold and calculating, I don't even remember my hit count.
I understand. So, yeah, so that's a new thing. That's probably more dangerous. More dangerous. You know, when you see this young woman, this girl, 20, 25, and they're real. And you know what I always find disappointing with all this? All these scammers think I'm so desperate for love that I need this. That's the truly disappointing part. Do I look like I'm unloved?
It does hit you when people will zero in on you and profile you in the wrong way, and it's like, oh, that hurts.
And now I've seen on real people's real males profiles, you know, where they look like they might be challenged.
Okay.
In some ways. And you'll just see, like, in the comments, because they'll post pictures of themselves, and they'll just see in the comments these attractive profiles. Oh, you're so handsome. You're so sexy. It's like, come on. Maybe there's one person out there like that, but a dozen? I don't think so.
It's like, wait a minute. So, you know, is this Brad Pitt I'm looking at? What's happening?
Yeah, I mean, I think within the vast majority of society, there's a group conception of what we find attractive. Now, there are people that vary off of that. You know, some people like really skinny people. Some people like really big, large people, heavy people, really tall, really short. Some people like people with, like, you know, bad teeth. Whatever the case is. There's something for everyone.
Sure.
But within the traditional stereotypes, most people would say Beyonce's an attractive woman. Tom Cruise is a handsome man. I mean, most people, you know, would say these certain things. You know, we kind of have a concept. Because if you didn't have a concept, you couldn't have models.
Right.
So
I mean there is a beauty aesthetic. There is, like, traditional ideas of what beautiful and attractive are. But I mean, not everybody is getting together solely on, you know, what a person looks like.
No, but we're talking about on social media where they really don't know them, and you go, "You're so handsome, you're so beautiful," and they're clearly not.
And they're clearly not
by traditional methods. Now, I do think in Africa or poorer nations, I do think a little bit of extra weight is attractive because it indicates success and fortune. I do think there is something to that.
I would be gobbled up like a giant snack.
You would certainly would.
I know.
You're quite scrumptious.
I think my plane tickets to Africa are in the mail.
No, but don't you think there's something to that? Like if they see somebody who's a little bit thicker?
Yeah.
That's...
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, it's a cultural thing.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I am much more attractive to Hispanic and black men than white guys. Always have been.
So what's going on with you?
Oh, so I was having this weird dream the other night, and I was dreaming. I dream a lot about this one old workplace, and I was talking to my work friend. And I was saying to her during the dream, my feet hurt so much. Like, something's scraping my feet. Oh, my God, my feet hurt so much. And I woke up, and there was a cat sitting next to my feet. They have begun biting like there is no tomorrow.
Well, they're kittens. Cats always chase feet when they're little kittens.
I know. So this one kitten was looking at me like, what? I've been awake while it's happening.
Let me tell you this. as somebody who's been exposed to your Tootsies, you should be thrilled any human thing wants to get near them, okay?
Oh, you know, my feet heard that.
You know what? If your feet had ears, they would listen when I go, ugh, pew.
You're just not a foot connoisseur.
No, no, I am not. I'm a nose connoisseur, and my nose knows what stinks.
Yeah, you know what? They are sweaty little pads.
Yeah, my commentary has nothing to do with the appearance of your Tootsies. I couldn't identify your Tootsies in a Tootsie lineup.
I don't think you've seen them but once.
My critique is of the odoriferous nature of them.
Okay, this happened once.
You know what? You don't forget.
Well, you know, my feet are not the only thing I have going for me.
You know what? I don't want to hear what other smells those could have been other than your feet. Please, let's say it was your feet and call it even. I don't want to think that possibly odors were coming out of other parts of your body.
No, that was my feet that day.
Yeah, thank God. And that's why I had to move from that house. I no longer live there.
You know what? Yes, I did cast a pall that no sage burning was going to...
No, that's why you have to salt the earth after you've been there.
It is really terrible when, you know, your feet sweat and you're just like, it's hot. There's no escape from your feet. My cats seem to really enjoy that.
There has been shoes that have smelled so bad. Not yours. I'm not talking about yours. But, like, because you're not wearing socks and your feet are sweating,
yeah.
where the shoes had to be shown the door. They had to spend the night outside because the aroma was wafting. That has happened.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that definitely does happen, especially with people who are involved in sports. You know, they're going to sweat, and it's like the clothes and everything. No joke. It's, you know, it's not the person's fault. It's just, oh, danky, God.
I am not. I always wear socks when I'm wearing shoes, mm-hmm. and I am not a stinky person usually. So I've been fortunate with that. But yeah, so to the point, the cats will outgrow it. You're clearly shortening their life by exposing them to this, but that's your choice.
That's the thing is that. My feet are usually cold at night, so they're wrapped up in at least two blankets. But I am a restless sleeper, so every time I move, I hear jump, and I feel bite.
But you got to discipline. You got to discipline them.
How do you suggest?
A water pistol.
Oh, God. Oh, so I'm going to have a wet bed, too?
I'm assuming you do.
Not have a wet bed.
No, but you could have a water pistol on the nightstand. You get bit, psh, a little squirt, cat will go flying. They'll learn.
They'll be like, this is not fun right here.
No, because they will get startled, and they will realize every time they bite you, they're getting something they do not like.
Well, that's true. I thought maybe I would get one of those. Those paper towel rolls that are in, not paper towel rolls, but they're inside, they're long, they're inside like wrapping paper.
Oh, yeah.
And just like give them a little bonk.
Could do that.
Every time they bite.
Could do that.
Now just a light one. I'm not talking about beating my kittens.
No, I said, listen, I always say, what good is a cat if you can't see how far it can fly? That's what I say.
Well, you know what? We found how far one of them can fly because Mr. Helix was playing with his phone. And it was sunny out, and so it was bouncing on the wall. And one of the cats took a leap off of furniture straight at the wall and went splash trying to get that reflection.
Stupid cat.
Stupid. I mean, luckily it wasn't hurt, but it was like, oh, they're learning. It's fun watching them learn and burn.
So Mr. Helix's feet are safe?
No, he's been bitten too.
Yeah.
Definitely. It's a foot-biting crew we have.
Yeah,
both of them.
The, when it comes to bed, the cats really gravitate towards the wife. When they'll sleep on top of her. I can't have that. I need my space. Cats are fine for waking hours, just like wives are fine for waking hours. And she doesn't understand this. When it's time to go to sleep, it's time to go to sleep. I know you're there. I don't need to touch you.
So you're not a spooner?
No, much to her chagrin. I'm not. Listen, even if you fall asleep on me, say you fall asleep on my chest and my arm is around you.
Yeah.
In a short amount of time, I'm going to have to toss you off because my arm's going to fall asleep. I mean, I know it's romantic. We're going to spend the night like that. First of all, I'm not a back sleeper. You know,
no.
I sleep on my tum-tum or on my side. I'm a restless sleeper. And you're not a feather.
I know, it's really difficult when you have some, you know, you want to sleep all cuddled up, but it's just not possible. I roll around like a rotisserie chicken. I just cannot stay in one spot.
Yeah,
in one position. So it's like it kills me because, like, the cats will find a spot, like, in between, like, someplace in my legs if I have, you know, one leg bent or something, and they cuddle into the crevice, and it's like, oh, that's so cute. But it starts, I can't settle down. I'm just like, I gotta move. It irritates me to the point where they get, like, maybe 5 minutes, and then I can't.
My wife will sleep with a cat on her chest for hours. I can't do it.
Yeah, some people can do that.
I can't.
I would love to because I love cuddling them, but they usually end up, Mr. Hill can sleep like he's dead. And so the cats end up cuddling with him because I am just absolutely miserable to try to sleep next to, which you probably could have already guessed. But
I would have just ended it with miserable. I didn't need, you know, the specifics. That's me.
True. And it's so cute when they cuddle up against him, but I'm like, and I'm a little jealous, but I know that there's no way they can get cuddly with this.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm the same.
Turning.
I'm the same. Like, oh, they're going to the wife, but you know what? It's fine. You know, it's fine when I'm awake, but I don't, if I'm in bed, like, I know, I've talked about this before. I know when it's time to go to sleep. Good night. Out. I'm done. It's bedtime. I know.
Yeah.
But it's weird. Like, I fall asleep now at 9:30, and I'll be up at, like, 1:30 for hours. I saw you on Instagram last night.
You know what? If you see me on and it's the middle of the night, I probably get up to pee.
Okay.
And I'm just entertaining myself. What's going on in the world?
Yeah, it was like around 3 a.m.
Yeah, that was a pee break.
Yeah, so, but I'm up. I'll spend some time in bed, but then I migrate downstairs. A lot of times I'll wind up talking to scammers because, you know, that's their prime time because they're six.
Right.
They're 6 hours ahead a lot of times, you know, give or take. So, you know, but.
So this is like a version of I have to get up. The market just opened in Tokyo.
Kind of.
The market just opened in Ghana. I have to get on the computer.
But it's weird. Like, they'll tell me that they're, because, you know, they'll be, oh, I'm in California. I'm in Texas. So they're only, like, supposed to be, like, 2 or 3 hours behind. So if I'm up at 3, theoretically they should be at 1 or midnight. But they'll be like, oh, I'm with the kids, you know, the little ones, or I'm cleaning the house. No, you're not. Well, you are. But you're not what you say you are.
I know. It's like, do you have any concept of time?
They don't. And even when I tell them the time, they ask that they don't. And it's just like, oh, okay, whatever.
Yeah, it's like it's 1 in the morning where you are.
Yeah.
And no, it's really not. It's the middle of the day.
Yeah.
What am I saying? They're so dumb. They're so dumb with that. I've noticed that when you're reading the scams, and you're like, if you mention what time it is, and they're doing something absurd for that time. I love when you call them out, and you're like, but nothing's open now. It's the middle of the night. And they just go right past it.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. It's hard. It's like, how much bullshit am I going to call them out on?
I know.
Like what I'm talking to now, and then we'll move on to something else. It's like, oh, well, you know, I'm like, why are the kids home? Because it'll be like the middle of the day. Why are the kids up? Or if I'm talking on the phone with them, I'll hear the kids in the background. Why are the kids home? Oh, I don't have money for school. It's free. It's free.
I didn't have money for school.
Because in these nations, you have to pay for school. But in the United States, public school is free. Don't tell me you're in Texas and it's the quote unquote middle of the day and you and the kids are running around or you need a Steam card for them to play video games. No, they should be getting an education. What are you talking about?
I know, it's like, I didn't have money for school. What?
Yeah.
What? It doesn't work like that. You don't pay by the day, even if it's a private school.
They don't know.
Like, I didn't have bus money. What?
And then it's just at some point, do I want to tell them, you know, I've known from the beginning. Everything you could do to give yourself away, you have done. I'm not going to tell you what you've done. I'm just going to tell you you're not very good at this and you should stop. Now, you would think it would the average person would go, well, that doesn't make sense. But as Joe says, I guess if you're so deeply in love, I guess.
Yeah. Well, that happens even when they're not with scammers. Sometimes, you know, love clouds people's judgment all the time.
Yeah.
And they will overlook huge red flags.
Thank God.
Because, how do you think I got married?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, they'll just overlook things that are really, you know, beacons of distress. And they will just go, oh, you know, there's a reason for that. Or, oh, that's because of this. I was like, no. These are warning signs that this is going to go badly.
Yeah, they don't give good reasons. All right.
No.
So one final thing before we take our break. So my wife has a friend she used to work with.
Okay.
You know, this woman left the company several years ago, so she doesn't live far. She's getting married, and it's a small ceremony, and she needed to print out invitations. My wife volunteered our printer. My wife's not invited to the wedding. So I could never ask to, if I'm having a small ceremony and you're not invited, Pip, I could never ask you to help me in preparation of this. I don't have the balls to do that. And my wife sees nothing wrong with this, and I see everything wrong with this.
I do too.
Okay.
If you're asking somebody to help you with some kind of affair you're having and you're not invited, Why?
Don't you have anybody who you have invited you can ask?
Sorry?
I said, don't you have anybody who you have actually invited you can ask?
Right. It's like, these are your nearest and dearest, that nobody amongst those people could help you. I can, but you won't invite me?
I mean, let's be honest. Nobody wants to be invited to a wedding anyway, but...
Some people do, though.
All right, well,
some people enjoy weddings.
Well, those people are night walkers. I can't speak for them.
I mean, I do enjoy going to the weddings of, you know, my close friends and stuff, because I want to see them happy, and I, you know, I want to celebrate with them. But if it's like some cousin I haven't seen in decades, or going as a date with somebody to people I don't know, oh, God, no, please, no.
So you agree with me this is poor.
I do. I think it's really poor showing on the friend's part.
So then she needs to print out a few more, and she comes over again. So we're adding people, and I'm still not making the list.
What? No. The nerve.
Thank you. My wife thinks I'm completely wrong on this. But
No. If I'm good enough to ask for a favor, I'm good enough to invite.
Yeah. You're using my ink, my time and everything?
You'd be getting a gift out of it. What's wrong with you?
Which brings us to the final point.
Uh-oh.
So the other day we're doing some cleaning. I go, "What's that? What's that bottle of wine?" Because that's what you give people, I guess. I hadn't seen the bottle of wine. So it's from this friend. She asked my wife, do you drink wine? My wife's like, no, not really. She's very particular about what she drinks. She has one wine that she really enjoys. There was another wine that she thought she liked. She had it at her friend's house, but can't replicate it. Whatever that is. She thought she found the exact thing, but, you know, I guess if it's not at her friend's parents' house, it's not the same. I don't know. Whatever. But my wife has one wine that she really enjoys. So, you can get bottles of that. She's very happy. It's a very sweet wine, dessert wine.
Ooh.
Yeah. Next time you're here, I'm sure she'll be happy to have a glass with you, as a matter of fact.
Well, I'd like to see what it is. I'm curious now.
So my wife goes, no, not really. And this friend gives her the bottle of wine. Oh, well, this is really good wine. What are you doing? What are you doing?
I just told you I don't want it. Why? Mr. Helix has not had a drink in eons.
Which is commendable and really remarkable considering who he's married to.
I know, right? Wouldn't you think he'd be drinking and drugging like there's no tomorrow? Wow, impressive.
Yes.
But he doesn't. And sometimes when people just assume that they can give you alcohol, it kind of bugs me because I see, not everybody drinks. And so it used to be in the day when you wanted to, like, thank somebody, you're like a vendor or something, you just go get a big crate of one particular kind of liquor and hand it out to everybody. But I'm like, no, that you don't do that anymore.
I think you do. I think you wind up giving a wine that you, if you don't know them very well, you give a wine that you like.
Yeah.
I think alcohol is still the liquid gift card.
Yeah, it is.
But you know what? Give me a gift card. Give me a gift card. I mean, if we're admitting I know nothing about you, then give me the gift card. I mean, I prefer cash. Don't get me wrong.
Or at least if you're going to give me a gift card, give me a gift card that doesn't, like, take a fee off for every month I don't use it.
Right, yeah.
Dude, God, those are terrible. If you don't get to it right away, it's like, oh, what do you mean? It's not worth what it was?
I can't tell you how many bottles of wine that we've gotten that, you know, they just sit there. So we re-gift them. So we're just as guilty.
Well, yeah, I've re-gifted wine that I've gotten because I'm like, what am I going to do with this? I don't drink this. So, the same. I understand. But it's very odd to say, well, take it anyway.
Yeah. Do you drink wine? No, not really. Oh, here you go. Don't ask. If you know this is what you're giving, don't ask.
Yeah, it's like, oh, all right, then, well, I'll just take this back with me. You know, I mean, you were trying to be nice, but then they just said, no, I don't want it.
Well, I don't think my wife saw the bottle of wine at that point. It was probably asked in some conversation, like, you know, casual, oh, do you like wine? You know, because we have vineyards here. And my wife's like, eh, not really. We don't really drink it. Sure enough. It's like, you know what you should have brought? You should have brought computer ink. That's what you should have bought.
Actually, yes. Yes. Go figure out what kind of little, you know, cartridges go in there or whatever it does.
Yeah. What type of printer do you have? Okay.
Oh, here. I have not used this printer in forever and had little cartridges.
No, I know, but I'm saying that's what you ask. I'm not questioning your printer. I'm saying if I'm asking you to do a print job, and I want to show that I'm appreciative.
Right.
Let's give me some ink. That shit's not cheap. It is not cheap.
Yeah. And especially if you're going to run through a lot of it, that would be,
I guess,
thing. Like, here, thanks for doing this for me, but here, I'll bring the ink.
I guess there are like 40 to 50 invitations.
Still.
Or maybe 20 to 50. I don't know if it was couples. I don't know what it was. So, I don't know. So we agree. If you're not, if I'm not good enough to make the cut, and I understand why I'm not good enough to make the cut. We're not that close. We don't talk that often. I don't belong at a small wedding. I don't care how close we are in proximity. Drive your ass to Staples.
Yeah. I just find that really odd to ask somebody for a favor for an event that you won't invite them to.
Well, I'm sure what happened was they were having a conversation and she's like, "Oh, you know, I got to print this stuff out, whatever." And I'm sure my wife volunteered. That's what happened.
Yeah. Your wife was being generous.
Yes.
But I still think it's kind of crappy.
Yeah. And I think you better become coming back. First of all, you can't come back for more invitations. You know what? Those motherfuckers, if you can't still go to Staples, guess what? That shit's getting handwritten or an email. I'm not coming back to the house. I can't. I can't do that.
I would not be able to do that. I don't have that kind of nerve. But also, it kind of brings up when people have sent out the first round of invitations for something and they've gotten some people to say no and they know how many they can afford to have at their wedding, all of a sudden the second round, the B invitations go out.
Yep.
And it's like, are you insulted you got a B invitation?
So would you rather not be invited or would you rather make the B team?
It depends on who it is. I think, though, there's also the, wait a minute, if I'm that close to you that I want to go to your wedding, I better have been in the A group. Because now that I'm getting the B invitation, I might say no just on spec because I wasn't good enough to invite the first round.
All right, well, say it was me and you were not on the B team, so I don't want you to think that you were on the B team. But say it was me, our friendship, was it 25 years ago? Yeah, 20 years ago.
Yeah,
I guess I've been married. And I'm inviting 200 people, because I think that's how big my wedding was. 200 people. Now, you don't get the first round, but you get the second round. You happy, or you're like, WTF?
I maybe would have been a little stung that I didn't make the big, but I know that there was a ton of family there. But I would go anyway.
Okay. So it depends on how close you are with them.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. I don't love weddings, but I've of course been to them. Depends on who it is. My workmate that was in my Bitey Cat dream, I went to her daughter's wedding.
Oh, wow.
Because I knew the daughter, and she has great kids. And I really enjoyed that, but that's because they're terrific people. And I knew that my friends from work were going, and it was going to be a nice time.
Mm-hmm.
But and there was also a little drama because there's always some family member that's going to misbehave. And if it's not my family, it's not my drama. I like to watch.
Well, as you said, you do like the tea. Let's take our break. Now, I did send you the Portobello Reed. Do you have that?
I do.
All right. Very good. All right. Let's thank some people, and we'll take our break, and we'll come back. Want to thank Sensei Ferdico for his continued support. Thank you, Russ. We certainly appreciate it.
Thank you, Russ.
All right, what do you got?
Okay. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you meant now. I thought it was in the second segment.
No.
I'm an idiot.
No, because we're only doing... Holy crap! I haven't heard from her in a while.
Oh, who'd you hear from?
A scammer I haven't spoken to in months.
Oh, my God. That's cool.
Is it?
it is cool because sometimes you can jump back in.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. That, here's the problem. While you search for Portobello's Reed, here's the problem. I don't remember who's who. I remember who they are sometimes. I don't remember what Michigas I've told them. So I'll have to like scroll up and see what was the nonsense I told them? Why aren't they getting money? What was the status of our relationship?
Right, but you're just like them now. You got to flip back in the notebook.
Yes, because I'm not taking notes. And I'll be talking like I remember how this one initially tried to scam me and she disappeared and I told her, I go, listen, you're going to get back with me. You're going to have to be a sexual freak. And she agreed. And then we just didn't talk. And I'm like, okay. Well, she was kind of boring anyway. Like, it was a unique way that I turned it into a romance scam because it didn't turn into that way. And I was intrigued that she did not use what I would say was a conventionally attractive person that they normally you pretend to be. So that right. was intriguing.
Oh, that is just what we were talking about before.
Yeah.
Interesting. Well, I have the read.
Okay.
Okay. Portobello is Bergen County, New Jersey's most exclusive fine dining Italian restaurant. The Tuscan villa setting will make you feel like you have been transported to the old country. Every dish is prepared with care and attention to detail, and the Portobello chefs are happy to cater to any dietary needs, thus ensuring that every visit is not just a meal, but an experience. Portobello is open for lunch and dinner Monday through Saturday, and on Sunday, Portobello features a sumptuous brunch in addition to their dinner menu, which is available all day. Friday and Saturday nights, Portobello features the entertainment starting at 9 p.m. Portobello Banquets is your destination for that special event, such as a Sweet 16, wedding, office party, or anything that has to impress. Their professional staff will ensure that your event is not just be an occasion, but a memory. Portobello Banquets also hosts the always popular comedy nights throughout the year, which are produced by Side Splitting Productions, owner Davin of Davin's Den. What do you have going on next, Davin?
We'll have a new date in the new year.
Okay, cool. So experience all that Portobello has to offer at 175 Ramapo Valley Road in Oakland, New Jersey, or learn more by calling 201-337-8990. That's 201-337-8990. Or by visiting their website, portobellonj.com. You deserve the best. You deserve Portobello.
Side Splitting Productions, it's holiday party time. If you want a comedian to entertain at your holiday party or a fundraiser or event or a restaurant, give us a call, 551-404-3094, sidesplittingproductions.com. Speaking of Side Splitting Productions, we have a show this Thursday, November 16th, in Newburgh, New York, at the River Grill. I got a text yesterday from the owner, Mark Love Mark. Very good turnout so far. I think there's still a few seats available. But we're going to have a great show there on Thursday night, November 16th. It's going to star Johnny Watson, Ellen Karras, and Matt Dolan. For tickets, call 845-561-9444, 845-561-9444. I always say get the prime rib. It is off the hook. November 17th, I will be in Sydney, New York at the Community Cultural Center. I don't have a phone number for that. But if you're there, come on down. I don't know how ticket sales are. Nobody's told me. But I'll be there, and I'll try to be funny. And Friday, November.
Tickets have sold. He's going.
Yeah, well, I'm assuming it's going to be good. What type of stuff do you think is happening in Sydney, New York on a Friday night? I'm sure there can't be that much going on in Sydney.
There's you, and they're going to be watching some kind of sport on at the bar.
There you go. Well, this is the Community Cultural Center, so there'll be no sports. I just think it's like a cultural center. I think as if you're there, we're the only game in town.
Yeah, I know. That should be good. No distractions.
No. And November 18th, I'll be in Newton, New Jersey at the American Legion Hall. Again, I was just told by the booker. This is not my gig, but I'll be performing. I was told by the booker ticket sales are very good. And again, I don't have a phone number. But if you are in the Newton, New Jersey area, go on down to the American Legion Hall. We'll be there Saturday night. It's going to be a good time. Some good comedy. So there you go. That's what you could do this week. I don't know what Joe's doing this week because he's not here. On the break, we got new music from L. Damien and DJ Combo with Storm Is Coming. And we also have Wolfgang Lohr and Dominic Paul with Black Coffee. And you can learn more about both those artists at khb-music.de.